We pulled from several of those websites to find some myths to kind of that we thought
websites
that we thought were especially not I shouldn't say they're all especially ridiculous. They're like I said in the
they're
beginning,
they're just believable enough,
And they actually have some types of threads of truth. And like Shannon said, like it's the headline that's really they get you sucked into the headline, but then they bring it all around and they're like, well, it's not really this by the end of the article. So but everybody
it's very
only people
yeah
only
most
people,
people
remember.
Don't read all the way to the end of those articles.
Exactly. So number one, the first one, and I don't think we're putting in these in any particular order, but 5G helps spread coronavirus.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Welcome back to a new episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys tuning in for another fresh episode. We actually have been enjoying the fact that people seem to really be into podcasts these days. And really appreciate everybody listening, sharing, spreading the word about our podcast. And keep it up. Keep going. Keep sharing. It's the like silver lining side of, I think, being quarantined or isolated is that podcast listening is on the rise.
That's right. Yeah, and there's a lot of good stuff. I mean, maybe people are finally discovering how many GD podcasts are out there right now.
I know that you can basically find a podcast about anything. Mm-hmm. Like I came across the Office podcast. The ladies of Office or something like that. It's incredible, like all the things there are, like the little niche kind of podcast and the big broad podcast and everything in between. So we're excited just about people finding this medium, and we are really grateful that people have stopped and listened to ours and are continuing to help keep us growing. So
yeah, and this week we and it seems it's pretty much because it's a topic, I think the prominent topic around the world and in news lately is coronavirus. So but there's a lot of misinformation out there
just
nowadays. Just a tidbit. That's kind of what happens where people get to stay at home and make up, I would feel like, fantastic claims. But I think it's some of the crazier claims or some of the myths associated with coronavirus, they have some sort of threads of truth, but today we're going to address several to really give you kind of the research of what we found on whether they are true or absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and it stems from just the fact that there is so much attention, especially by the media in our country, in the United States, that is focused on covering nothing but COVID-19. Like, that is everything and anything that they want to cover. And it's just provided opportunity for any tiny little rumor, tidbit, possible, you know, nugget of a story. They'll chase it, they'll run with it, and they're trying to beat the next person, so they might not be doing the best, you know, fact-checking. And you see this stuff make headlines, even if it's only to further, like, dispel it later in the article, but it's the headlines that people remember. And that's the kind of, like, sensationalism around some of the coverage of this that, professionally, I get really frustrated with. I understand why it's there. I understand they're just trying to get attention, but it's really frustrating. And I think from the health perspective that we base this show in as much science and data as we possibly can, it's frustrating to find something to be misled and find things that even you thought at some point were like mildly true and realizing, no, that was just a load and that was just that was completely bogus information, and it got run away, like, cross social media, everything, TikTok, God only knows.
Right. So, yeah, we're going to talk about several of those, but before we jump into that, we do have a training recap to go into, because we've got big news for our training recap this week, and it involves you. I'm pointing at Shannon right now.
I got a finger in my face right now.
Right behind you right now.
Yes. I have been reunited with an old friend, and I couldn't be happier. Feels so good. The Peloton is back. The Peloton that I have missed for the past 2 months. We took it out of our house when we were clearing out our house ahead of trying to sell our house, thinking we were going to get it in showings and have it on the market and sell our house. Obviously, terrible timing. But the Peloton was one of those things that just didn't fit a room, and they're like, oh, you should probably put that in storage. So it got locked up in storage for the last 2 months. It was in the way back of storage, too. Mm. I mean, it wasn't like in an easily accessible place. Nick had to do some calisthenics and some climbing to get all of the items out of our storage unit, but we did it. And I got on the bike this morning for the first time, like I said, in 2 months. And it felt amazing. And yeah, I feel so good to be reunited with my buddy.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I know we've been talking about it. And I think it's a very important part. We always say it multiple times. We say it on the podcast. I say it when I do my live workouts. It's like, exercise is the one thing we can control right now. You know, we can't. Obviously, gyms are closed in a lot of places. But you can still exercise.
If you're healthy, yeah. If you're, you know, if your health is in a position where you can get activity and you can go outside or move around inside, like, yeah, that is something that we can do.
Right, exactly. So that's, and this time when there's a lot of stuff we can't really control, that's a good thing to have basically at our control. So that's why prioritizing getting a Peloton here for you, since you love the Peloton so much, that's why I'm also happy and excited for you.
Yeah, and I will say that I'm not using the app because I had put my account on hold. Mm-hmm. So not using my favorite instructors and all of their wonderful classes. But I was very happy to feel quite comfortable and at home on the bike when I got on it today. And I didn't really need the class. Like, I'm just using the basic bike. Like, there's a basic bike setting where you can just ride, and it doesn't track your rides, it doesn't measure your performance and all the other doohickeys, and you don't have access to classes, but you can use the bike just as a stationary bike without the app. Mm-hmm. So if you find yourself in a position right now where you cannot use the Peloton app, do not despair. If you have access to the bike, you can still ride it. Put on some music, put on a show, and just go after it.
All right.
Someone's chasing you.
Great advice. And you'll give us some updates on your, maybe you'll make some spin classes up in your head, and you can share it with the people in the future.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting one.
For my training recap, guys, doing the live workouts Monday through Friday. Did another 5 of the new live workouts this week. Golf fitness, upper body, cardio, boxing, kickboxing. I did a stick mobility workout this week too for my kind of like my recovery day, much needed. And we had some serious weather here in Florida this week,
even though
it's been awesome weather. But yeah, you guys can find all of those live workouts at the Elemental Training Tampa YouTube page. And not only am I doing those Monday through Friday, online training and virtual training, still doing those, basically I'm adding a couple people week by week. It seems like some of my old Tampa Strength clients are joining in on the virtual training. So I probably got about close to 10 people training either virtually or kind of like online, stuff like that. So
you're saying you have slots still open?
I do have slots still open. So, and you don't have to be a current client to try a virtual workout, guys. There's slots for you, yes, you, listening right now.
Well, now you sound like a car salesman. Yeah,
to try a virtual workout. Drive it off the lot today. And, yes, so you guys reach out to us. All our contact info is at the end of the podcast, but if you don't wait that long, nick@elementaltampa.com is a great way to reach me, or follow me on Instagram at ettampa, ettampa. All right, so you guys, like I said, we'll schedule a virtual workout. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. So we're coming up into another week, so we'll be doing live workouts Monday through Friday. Right now, it's probably around between 9 and 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you ever want to watch or find out, you guys can basically go to the Instagram I just gave you, or the or Facebook, Elemental Training Tampa Facebook page. So that's, and I also found my bike shoes, my spinning shoes. Yeah. So hopefully I'll jump on the Peloton this week also.
Yeah, you almost fell into a garbage bag. crevasse. Surrounded by garbage bags of my shoes.
Yes, so I'm going to make sure it was not for naught. I'm definitely going to use those shoes this week. All right, myths surrounding the coronavirus. Okay, so there are several of these. I found one website, one of our favorite, Medical News Today. I believe that's when this one is. Yes, Medical News Today, one of our go-to websites for health information that's backed with basically peer-reviewed and kind of current studies. This one article actually has 27 coronavirus myths bust. And then, of course, we saw the great and somewhat, sometimes often disputed by our president, the HWO, the World Health Organization's website, had a good a page up about, you know, several myths that surrounding the coronavirus that you should probably not believe in. Or definitely not should believe in. So we pulled from several of those websites to find some myths to kind of that we thought
accredited
yes that we thought were especially not, I shouldn't say they're all especially ridiculous, they're like I said in the beginning,
they're just believable enough.
Mm-hmm. And they actually have some types of threads of truth, and like Shannon said, like it's the headline that's really, they get you sucked into the headline, but then they bring it all around. And they're like, well, it's not really this by the end of the article. So, but everybody,
it's very
only people,
only most people remember. Don't read all the way to the end of those articles.
Exactly. So number one, the first one, and I don't think we're putting in these in any particular order, but 5G helps spread coronavirus.
5G as in the like phone signal or
yes,
phone
like
network.
The Wi-Fi kind of networking. And I know that 5G was something kind of rolled out pretty recently about basically with signal strength and providing Wi-Fi service to, I mean, all, you know, essentially anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And even remote places. And then, you know, obviously there was some sort of theory or a belief that the 5G is what's spreading the coronavirus. And this was dispelled pretty quickly because, and I actually saw it was a tweet when I first heard about this. It was on Instagram. It was Joe Rogan reposted basically, I can't remember what the rapper, some rapper's response is like, how did people believe that, you know, 5G, is spreading coronavirus. It's like only several countries have 5G, you know, but coronavirus is in like over 180 countries around the world. And they even in Medical News Today, they talk about how 5G is, you know, there's countries like Iran, which has a huge coronavirus problem, and they don't even have 5G. So it's like trying to think that it's associated with that. Just because, you know, 5G obviously big in Asia and China specifically.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because on Medical News Today, they talk about how there was a paper from 2011 that basically bacteria can communicate via electromagnetic signals. Now, obviously, this was just one paper. And a lot of experts are disputing that theory. And plus, coronavirus, right in the name, it's a virus. It's not a bacteria.
Right.
So it's first of all, even though that's why people would say that's, you know, they're citing this study as a reason why 5G is spreading the virus. Well, that study doesn't even use a virus for its basically its study subject. It uses a bacteria. So yes, I think it's pretty. It's pretty concrete that the myth that...
it is a myth.
Yeah, 5G spreading coronavirus is a myth, for sure. All right, so which one do you want to go on to next? We do have several to choose from. I know you talked about one, and then we talked about a little earlier today about people consuming a certain...
Yes, I think this is one that even at some point or another, I even said, well, yeah, this... Like, it kind of just seemed like baseline this was fact about mm-hmm. where the virus originated. Or not specifically where, but, like, how. Mm-hmm. And so everybody knows that COVID-19, which is a strain of the SARS virus, it started in an animal. And like other forms of SARS, it jumped.
Yeah.
But the question... Or rather, it wasn't a question. People were saying it was because somebody ate a bat. Mm-hmm. And that the bat then gave it to that person who ate it. And like it specifically, it was like bat soup. Like some, mm-hmm. there was an actual video or something that circulated at one point during this whole thing of someone eating bat soup. And they're like, this is it. This is how it happened.
Right.
Now... This was one that we wanted to get to the bottom of because there's also been other rumors, which we'll get to, about the origination of this. But we really felt like getting to the bottom of this was important. So what did you find?
So this was actually from, I believe this is a Miami newspaper, and I'm sure they probably got the story, the information from somewhere else. But as Shannon said, that the myth of... It's starting from somebody eating bat soup was based off of a YouTube video or, you know, an online video displaying somebody eating bat soup that got recirculated once the virus was starting to get into the news and stuff like that. Well, apparently that video was from 2016, even though they attributed it to recent, they attributed it to Wuhan. Which was also incorrect. They actually found out that they said they contacted the blogger and he said it was in the South Pacific. So it was like they really just attached all types of misinformation to this one idea that it came from bats.
Yeah.
And I think where, you know, kind of like what you talked about, the bat thing, along with, you know, jumping from, a lot of experts do believe it jumped from animals to humans.
It's jumped back to animals too. Yeah, There's been animals here in the United States even that have contracted the virus.
But the thing is, they don't even know, because obviously a lot of people think bats are the culprit.
Right.
Because of wet markets in China, they don't even know yet. They're still trying to find out which animal it actually start with. I just saw, you know, doing this research that they think it's from a pathagon. It's like this tiny anteater creature that has these scales that it almost looks like a dinosaur.
Wow.
It's a real thing, and apparently it's popular in Asia for its scales and meat and stuff. But anyways, but they said they don't even know what animal it jumped from. So yeah, the bat soup myth is just that, folks. It's a myth, and it basically, like I said, it was like purple monkey dishwasher.
Right.
People got one tidbit of information and just started adding to it, and all of it happened to be misinformation, and then it blew up into...
Yeah,
bat soup gives you.
Yeah, it's like the tidbit of actual information is, yes, this actually originated in an animal. Like,
yes.
and then it jumped to humans. So the question is how it did that and which animal actually was the start or, like, you know, the originator. They don't know that still.
Right.
So best not keep spreading the bat. You're giving bats a bad name, and you're also drawing a lot of conclusions about people that eat different animals.
Yes, apparently. And bats, pretty awesome, eat mosquitoes. So
yeah, we love bats.
Yeah, exactly.
Here talk in about Florida, bats,
yeah.
They are wonderful creatures to see flying around the sky.
Because they eat that one animal that probably can spread a lot of disease, even though we're not going to go into if mosquitoes carry the virus.
But let's not go that way.
Because that was one of the myths about mosquitoes carrying the virus, but we're not going to go into that one. I just direct you to the HWO's website. They will address it there if you're interested in knowing about mosquitoes and the virus. So speaking of the HWO, the WHO's website, the World Health Organization, they had an interesting one, and I heard somebody talk about this way before we went into quarantine and everything like that. Somebody walked into the gym and was just, you know, making a joke because somebody coughed and they were like, oh, you know, you have coronavirus. You know, it was back then, it was kind of
any sort of respiratory signal.
It was kind of more of a punchline at that time because we didn't realize how serious it was or how it was going to get.
That it was going to come here for us.
So she was like, this woman told me, she was like, oh, all I know, if I can just hold my breath for 10 seconds without coughing, I know I don't have it. And I was like, okay, you know, I just laughed it off and just thinking, oh, you just heard something silly on the radio, right? Well, it turns out this is on the World Health Organization's website. It says being able to hold your breath for 10 seconds or more without coughing or feeling discomfort does not mean you are free from the coronavirus or any other lung disease. So apparently, this idea that if you hold your breath for 10 seconds without coughing or discomfort is a telltale sign that you don't have coronavirus. And like I said, World Health Organization had to come out and tell people that that is not the case. So obviously some of the most common symptoms with COVID-19 is the dry cough and basically respiratory distress with like some other respiratory diseases like pneumonia. The best way to confirm that you the virus producing COVID-19 is a laboratory test. You cannot confirm it with this breathing exercise, which can even be dangerous, according to the World Health Organization. So I don't know where this came from. I mean, I'm sure this might have been something it's like old wives' tales.
Yeah,
thing,
especially like in the beginning of all this when like the whole thing with asymptomatic, like prevalence of people who are asymptomatic and all of that, and like the very little information we have on this, I could see where someone would say, well, yeah, if you can't breathe with it, then clearly this would be an impossible thing and you would definitely have it if like this was your issue.
Yeah.
I could see where there's like sense in it. That's why it makes it almost believable. So yeah, I mean, we laugh at it now, but it's probably because we know way more.
But and like you said, and we've talked before, there's so many, especially now I've heard about how the symptoms for COVID-19 vary so wildly that just having a dry cough or having some respiratory distress doesn't always manifest as saying you have COVID-19.
Yeah.
You know, it could be the fever. It could be a runny nose. It could be something that's not even had been generally associated with COVID-19, especially in elderly adults. Just read an article about how elderly adults are having basically, I wouldn't say mental problems, but cognitive decline, like very rapid cognitive decline because of COVID-19. So that, and, you know, slurred speech, things like that, you know, fainting. So, and I mean, it's really scary to think about, but it's like, it's not always the telltale signs that we said, like fever, coughing, or basic respiratory distress.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, another myth that, as Shannon mentioned, you know, could have some tinges of some based in truth, which I think all myths are kind of really start. People, they have a thread of truth in them, and then hopefully they either get busted or they get kind of, you know, can get, not manipulated, but evolved to be a little bit more concrete.
You know what it is? It's a game of telephone.
Yeah, purple monkey dishwasher.
I have no idea what that is. You said that, and I had no idea what it was. I thought it was another YouTube video. Yeah. It's the game of telephone. Mm-hmm. Every single person that's played it has seen it happen. We fill in the holes, or we like misinterpret, or we don't hear everything, And then we fill in the parts that we don't hear with something that we think makes sense,
right,
or sounds like it would make sense. And it, the information gets distorted and manipulated so that sometimes in the end of the game, what the last person says compared to the first person is completely different.
Right.
Yeah. And that's how all this happens.
Right. I agree. So one that I thought was interesting, and actually I was somewhat concerned of, especially when this whole thing started in the beginning, and not that I was really concerned of, but I was wondering why. I was like, why are... It was the drinking water thing. Can COVID-19
yeah.
be basically... Can it spread through drinking water?
Yeah.
And I was like, being someone who's done a lot of water treatment work
yeah,
and study...
I was like, and that's why
when the whole hoarding of water in the beginning of this thing was happening, yeah. I was like, I don't understand why this is happening.
Nobody understood that.
I don't understand it. And you
toilet
know,
paper,
and so of course it's addressed on the this is the CDC's website. They basically address can COVID-19 spread through drink water, and of course their response is the virus that causes COVID-19 has not been detected in drinking water. Conventional water treatment methods that use filtration and disinfection, such as those in most municipal water systems, should remove and inactivate the virus that causes COVID-19, which is true. I can tell you firsthand, essentially all municipal water facilities in the United States, they have very, very, drinking water has very, very strict rules for what it can contain mm-hmm. as far as viruses, particulate matter, everything. They test. I worked in a water treatment facility for over a year. You test every day. So the a big thing that they use is chlorine. They use chlorine gas, they disinfect the water, and then they use another chemical to remove the chlorine before you can drink it, right? So this is what most facilities do. So basically any viruses would be, you know, disinfected. And so it's like, that's why it's always, I was like, I think that's a big fear in people that, you know, your drinking water can be tainted.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like one of the, whenever you see like a movie or a show or a story about like a bioweapon, it's always like, they're going for the drinking water. And there have actually, over the course of history, there have been massive poisonous things due to a contaminated drinking water
true.
Supply.
Yep. E. coli. Basically.
I mean, look at what was the one that Aaron Brockovich was based off of?
Well, yeah, that was more of a like an arsenic, like a heavy metal.
Right.
Yes.
But I mean, like I think that's the reason, like because people can't immediately, like they don't know it's there.
Yeah.
They feel like that's, I mean, it is a scary thing when you think about it.
I know what you mean, yeah. Yeah, and it's, Giardia, that was the one I think about. But basically, what Giardia is typically, somehow there's a fecal matter gets into, fecal coliform gets into the water. It's, you know, somehow, and like I said, they do have, that's when you get that boil water notice.
Oh, yes, which we've had.
Yeah, sometimes, you know. Filtrations fail, mm-hmm. power outages stop filtration, and every once in a while that's when they go into, hey, there's been an untreated water somehow got into the water system, go yep. into the boil water thing. So
yeah.
that's when
you better believe Nick is there boiling an entire tub full of water.
Mm-hmm. Because and the thing is, though, I can tell you, I just mentioned firsthand, I worked in a wastewater, so it was a water recycling facility. The water recycling facility, which put out water to basically water golf courses, basically that non-potable water, which you see watering the plants on the side of the road, they had so many days in a row, it was almost years, like over 500 days in a row, where they were producing non-potable water that was drinking water standard. Now, I was in Colorado, but it was still, the drinking water standards in this country are so high that it's like it goes through so many levels of filtration, dechlorination, there's no way that there's been no proof to this point that viruses, anything similar to coronavirus, can exist in drinking water supplies. So I think that one can definitely be put to bed.
Yeah. Well, there's another one that's related to drinking fluids that also I've heard recently. Mm-hmm. And I think at the very beginning, there was a number of things people were trying to drink to avoid getting coronavirus, chemicals, you know. But this particular one, maybe it explains why some people have frequented their local liquor store during this whole thing. Maybe it's just because of stress and anxiety. I tend to think that more. But yeah, the actual drinking alcohol reducing your risk of infection.
Right.
That is a myth.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, and it... Okay, so there's alcohol, like rubbing alcohol.
Right.
So big isopropyl alcohol or ether alcohol, ethanol alcohol, which can be used for cleaning.
Right.
Like in sanitizing. Mm-hmm. So like when you go, I don't know how many people get shots anymore, but usually if you get a vaccine, hopefully we'll have one of these soon for this, you get your arm wiped down with alcohol.
Right.
To basically sanitize. So it's... Alcohol can be a very good, what's in hand sanitizer, right?
Right.
So it'd be great for...
It's topical sanitizer.
Yes, it's great for cleaning your hands and hopefully, you know, using on the skin, good idea. Using it inside your body, internal, is not good.
It's not a good idea for anything. You can
be very, very sick, you know? Yeah. And then you have less potent forms of alcohol in the forms of basically, you know, like alcohol as in... booze,
Hooch.
Liquor, yeah, moonshine,
yeah.
White lightning. So yeah, that also doesn't help your chances of reducing infection. In fact, the who said it? Was it fact sheet? I don't know who this one came from. If this one came from CDC or this was from also the World Health Organization. They had to remind people that. Alcohol use, especially heavy use, weakens the immune system and thus reduces the ability to cope with infectious diseases.
Yes. So, in actuality, drinking alcohol makes you more at risk.
Right.
Let's just repeat that. Drinking alcohol makes you more at risk.
Yes.
Not less. More.
Yes. Especially and copious amounts.
Yes. Especially... I know there's a lot of people that are finding themselves in abnormal drinking patterns right now
right.
because of abnormal life routines right now or the loss of them. But alcohol, on just like a basic level, causes a great deal of inflammation within your body
right.
because your body, while in small amounts, it is very effective. Your body's an amazing thing at getting rid of it. But when you're drinking more of it than... you know, moderation, you're actually weakening yourself. So if you've ever found yourself, or maybe think back, the last time you had like a rough night and you woke up the next day not feeling great and you found yourself maybe like a few days later or not too long after, you ended up getting a cold. It's because the inflammation that causes in your body weakens your immune system. And along with like dehydration and everything else that alcohol causes in your body, you're basically lowering your immune system's abilities to fight against infections.
Right.
So that is why not just, you know, this virus, but in general, you're more open to getting sick if you're drinking a fair bit of alcohol.
Right.
So yes, we understand, and by all means, I've got my bottle of wine open on my little bar cart here, but let's all keep it within reason, do ourselves and our immune systems a favor, and enjoy conservatively, moderation. Moderation. We know hopefully people aren't getting in cars, dear goodness.
Yes.
But even if you're sitting at home... do it for your body, man. Moderation.
Yeah, especially if you're, you know, planning on kind of venturing back
going
out.
Going out amongst, yes. amongst yes. populations.
Yeah, you got to make sure, you know, this the is it's time to reel nicer. It back in. Yep. Reel it back in, folks, okay? You took your quarantine, your quarantinis are, you got to cut down on the quarantinis and just start getting back to being more responsible with alcohol use if you're doing so.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that was good. And there's, like I said, many more myths out there. We would have to spend several hours if we're going to dispel everyone. But there's great information out. The World Health Organization's website, the CDC, Medical News Today. That's what another one we're looking at. So, guys, check those out. And if you see some headline that you think seems ridiculous, read some more, do some research on it.
Read through the article. Don't get into clickbait.
Exactly. The actual verbiage in the headline may be ridiculous, but there might be actual some sorts of, like I said, threads of truth throughout it that might actually give you some more information and help you out.
Yeah. And by all means, our friendly reminder on behalf of everything that we learned through this process and everything that we continue to learn, it does come back to keeping yourself, taking care of yourself, keeping yourself healthy. Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, you talk about it. You're there trying to help people be physically fit and healthy and help address the many different things people are just needing physical fitness for, mm-hmm. including mental health. But it's a time to think about, you know, maybe, especially as we start hopefully heading towards a place where we are going to be re-entering more populated experiences and situations, venturing back into offices or malls or whatever it is. Know that your best offense, a good defense?
Yep. There you go.
It's true.
Look at you with the sports analogies.
Boom. Tom Brady's now a Tampa resident. I'm all football.
Yeah, she did. Now she's all on the football
train.
I'm
just kidding. I'm really not. But he is funny to follow on Instagram. But yeah, take care of yourself. Like, put away the mac and cheese. Throw the Oreos back in the closet for a little bit to enjoy on some other rainy day. Try to get your diet back. Because like we said, similar to alcohol, inflammation in your body is going to leave you more susceptible. Get active. You don't have to be doing extreme workouts as long as you're moving your body, getting out and getting some sunshine. I know that the Northeast has had a very warm weekend. And maybe people are forgetting the fact that we're still in the midst of a pandemic because they are not acting responsibly. Keep it in mind. Take care of yourselves right now.
Right. Yeah, that's a great note to go out on. Please keep sharing the podcast, guys. We love hearing from you. So let us know what you think. So drop us a line.
Leave a review.
Yeah, leave a review or go to the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page and you guys can contact us there. Got anything else for them tonight?
Nope. I'm going to bed soon so I can get up and hopefully get back on my bike.
I like it. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Stay safe.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.